I say there's a famine of the Word of God in our nation. And most Christians today in our nation, they have no idea that they are literally starving to death spiritually because of the lack of the Word that has been given.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study from Ephesians, and the message today is titled, It Is Written. Let's listen in.
Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off about a month ago in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading, though, in verse 10. Our text will be found in verse 17. Read with me or follow along, if you don't mind, as I read from Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul writes in verse 10, as he closes out this great epistle, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in our strength, but in God's strength." Amen? Not in our wisdom, but in the wisdom of God. And he says, "And put on the whole armor of God," and here's the reason, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against people." We do not wrestle against Christians. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation," and our scripture for this morning, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And the church says, amen. We are putting on the entire armor of God. You cannot and I cannot neglect one piece. To do so is actually spiritual insanity. It's also a suicide, if you will, because the devil hates you. He hates me. He hates God. He hates the Holy Spirit. And he specifically hates the Word of God. Amen? We will never, ever walk worthy of our calling. Remember the word worthy. I'm sure you know what that means by now. Equal in doctrine, equal in application. It's a picture of a set of weights, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. You're perfectly balanced. So if we're going to walk worthy of our calling, we have to put on the sixth piece of armor, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is, loved one, now listen to me, it is our only offensive weapon. There is no other offensive weapon against the powers of darkness and Satan. I want you to listen now. The sword of the Spirit is only for the demonic realm. It is only for the rulers of darkness. It is only for Satan. It is not for flesh and blood. Are you with me? We're in a war here, and that is vital that we get that into our spirits this morning. So he starts off and he tells us the command. He says for us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The command take in the Greek literally means to grasp it, to grab it with your hand. In other words, this is something that you must do. It will not be done for you. So you have to take it up. The rulers of darkness, believe me, and the devil, he will do anything in his power to enable your thinking to believe that verse 17 is an option for you, or a suggestion from God. It's not. It is a command from God. And the reason he wants you not to take up the sword of the Spirit is that he knows that the sword of the Spirit is the greatest supernatural weapon known on planet Earth, which is the Word of God. Amen? And he will do anything to stop you. Remember when King David, when he was fleeing from King Saul, and he went to the city of Nob, where all the priests were, and he showed up, and he was running from Saul because Saul wanted him dead. And he comes to the priest empty-handed. He has no weapon. He has no food. And he asked Abimelech, I believe it was, he says, I need a weapon. Are there any weapons? He says, no, there's only one weapon here, and it is the sword of Goliath. And what did David say? Give it to me, for there is none like it. That is exactly what you need to understand this morning, that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, there is none like it anywhere, any place on earth. Amen? I mean, it is God's weapon to defeat Satan at his every turn. The Bible tells us in James 4:7, he writes and he says, submit therefore to God. He says, and then resist the devil, and he will run from you or flee from you. That word means he will run in terror from you. In that verse in James 4:17, there is found a command, submit unto God, and then the promise, and the devil will flee from you. Christian, listen to me this morning. He will never flee from you if you are a swordless believer. You have to know what you believe and stand on what you believe. Amen? Now, look at it again. It says, take the sword of the what? You can talk to me. I need you to talk to me, man. Matter of fact, I may even get a chair up here in a minute. Do you understand? Take the sword of the what? Is it a capital S or a small s? So he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, isn't it? So when it says take the sword of, that word of tells us the origin or the source of the Word of God, which is, of course, the sword of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. These scriptures, I know the ones I'm going to quote, you know so well. 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, for every scripture, all scripture is given, and it tells us how, by the inspiration of God. In other words, they are God-breathed, the pneuma, the Holy Spirit of God. They're profitable for doctrine. The Word of God is profitable for reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. And here's the purpose, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now listen, without the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, man, every believer is completely unequipped. Amen? Completely unequipped. You can't stand against the wiles of the devil. So it says that the sword, which is supplied by the Spirit, is the Word of God. And the word there is very important. There are two words in the Greek, in the New Testament, for the word. Now, the first one is Logos. Logos literally is the written word, if you will, okay? It is God's revelation. It is God's message. It is God's 66 books of the Bible, which have been given or entrusted unto the church and given unto mankind. This is God's word to man. Amen? So this is the written word, the Logos. And the Logos of God is so powerful. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word, meaning the Logos, the written word, the Logos of God, it is alive, it's living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division, soul, spirit, joints, marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is powerful, loved one. I don't make it powerful. You don't make it powerful. God's word is powerful. Amen? And boy, when God speaks, is it done? Absolutely. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, having been born again, that's us, and it tells us how we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word or through the Logos of God. Now listen carefully, which lives and abides forever. He says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away. And here it comes. But the word, now here it's not logos, it's rhema. But the word, the rhema of the Lord, endures forever. It will outlast every person. It will outlast this universe. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Why? Because God's word is living and it is eternal. Amen? It's a living word of God. So logos, the written word of God, rhema, then is an utterance or the spoken word of God or the sayings of God. Remember Matthew 7:24? I believe I'm right. Jesus said, he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, the sayings of Almighty God, the Son of God, I will liken him unto a wise man. Remember? So these sayings of God, if you look down in Ephesians there, if you look down to the verse, 19, this the rhema means utterance. Look what Paul says. He says in verse 19 of Ephesians 6, and for me, that utterance or the sayings of God, that utterance may be given to me in the reason that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So listen carefully now. Logos is the written word of God. You have it right there in your hand. Rhema is the communication of the written word of God, or a communication of the sayings of the living God. Rhema is when the logos, here's the written word, it's when the logos becomes alive in your heart, or it becomes the rhema. Does that make sense? When information becomes revelation in your heart. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, Paul writes and he says, so faith then cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now listen carefully. That word there is not by hearing the logos of God, not by hearing that. No, it's by hearing the rhema of God. Rhema is a warfare word, loved one. Rhema is when all of a sudden I'm up here teaching the word of God. And sometimes people will come to me when the service is over and says, man, I'm going to tell you, Bill, you read my mind or my heart or whatever, and God's word was speaking right to me. Well, praise the Lord for that, but I'm not the one responsible for that. Does that make sense? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? What's happening? The logos that I am communicating becomes rhema, a living word in your heart, and it becomes alive. Now listen very, very carefully. Faith only comes by hearing the rhema of God, when it becomes alive in your heart. How many people in this world that are lost hear the word of God, but it never comes alive? Do you understand? They're natural man. They cannot receive the things of God. So the rhema is that living word and so forth. Ray Stedman, who's passed many years ago, said this, sometimes when you're reading a passage of Scripture, the words seem to suddenly come alive. They take on flesh and bones. They leap off the page of you. He says, this is the rhema of God. Every Christian, you know it, I know it, I believe it, it's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to you as well. You'll be studying the Word of God, the Logos of God, and all of a sudden it seems like the Word just stands up on the page. Why? It becomes a living word, alive, that can never be taken out of your heart, loved one. Now listen, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the living word of God, it does something. It cuts into a person's heart. Remember the first sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. Remember, it says they were cut to the heart. Why were they cut to the heart? Well, the Bible tells us why. It says their heart was literally cut to shreds, those 3,000 people in Acts 2:37. It says, and when they heard, here it comes, when they heard this, what did they hear? Well, that you crucified your own Messiah, Jesus Christ. It says they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and John, oh man, what must we do? And Peter told him to repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Now I want you to listen to me. There is today, there is a famine of the Word of God in this country, in America. I don't care how many TV programs proclaiming the Word of God. Listen, I've been gone, and the last week, I didn't watch any TV, didn't do a thing but stay in bed. And for the last week, I started going through the Christian networks. I'm going to tell you something. I say unashamedly, and I say without judgment, I say there's a famine of the Word of God in our nation. And most Christians today in our nation, they have no idea that they are literally starving to death spiritually because of the lack of the Word that has been given. Whenever the nation of Israel rejected God's Word, what did God do? God sent them a famine. Listen to it, Amos 8:11. It says that, "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land." And listen now carefully. God says, "Oh no, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and oh, they'll run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." Loved one, listen, we have Christians today. They're wandering from church to church. They really want the Word of God, but they settle for so much less in so many churches. They do not know that they are spiritually starving. They do not know that they're trying to live off feel-good messages or just one topical sermon or series after another, and I do not condemn. See, they don't know. Do you understand? They just know that they love the Lord. And their swords are so dull, they couldn't even slice hot butter. Oh, listen, loved one. They just don't know it. See, they don't understand that Satan's greatest tactic and attack is always going to be against the Word of God. And he wants every Christian that he can recruit. He wants every pastor that he can manipulate. He wants every Bible college that he can gain their confidence. You know what he wants them to do? He wants them, every church, to water down the Word of God. And don't mention things that offend other people. Don't do that. That's a bunch of bull. Do you understand? It's bull. That's a Texas word. If you better learn it, go look it up. You understand? No, listen, Satan is terrified of the Word of God. Demons believe and tremble at the Word of God. Do you understand? And they will do anything to get the church to water down God's Word and so forth, because he knows that without God's Word, a Christian's not equipped. He knows without God's Word that they're certainly not complete. And he knows if they don't have God's Word, then they are swordless. And that's the only way you can defeat and keep the one who Jesus defeated. Defeated. Amen? Oh, that's so important. See, the devil, he knows that the Word, the true Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, is the true source of all spiritual growth, the true source of all spiritual transformation in the life of the believer. He also knows that God's Word is the breath of God, filled with the authority of God, and is the living Word of God, and he can't stand it. Do you understand that? Therefore, his greatest tactic is to do something, and that is it'll always be against the Word of God. We are to take the sword of the Holy Spirit of God, the living Word of God, the Rhema of God, and we are to conquer and keep the evil one where he belongs. We do it with the Word of God. And it's our only offensive weapon, loved one. If you are not armed with the sword of the Spirit, then you are disarmed. And the only way to be armed with the sword of the Spirit is, number one, you must know God's Word. But number two, you have to believe it. Amen? You have to believe the Word of God. See, you have to believe where it's where the Logos comes alive like Rhema into your heart. It becomes revelation. Job said it this way in Job 23:12, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Let's make now an application. I want you to turn and let's look at the master swordsman himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we're going to learn from him and we're going to make application. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now, this is after Jesus has now been baptized. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him like a dove. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 17, a voice from heaven said, who is the Father, of course, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And look what happened immediately after Jesus was filled with the Spirit and water baptized. It says, and then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Look at that capital S, the Holy Spirit. Where was he led to? Into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted or tested by the devil. He wasn't led by the Spirit to the multitudes that were hurting or to anybody that was sick. He was led alone into the wilderness. Now listen carefully. God wasn't testing Jesus. That's ridiculous. I've heard people say that. That's why he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. No, God just said, if you read chapter 3, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? And listen, the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's not confused about that. But what we need to see here is that Jesus is going to face the God of this world, Satan himself. Now listen, not as God, but as man. And he's doing so, loved one, for you and for me, so that we can learn from this illustration that Jesus, he's saying, listen, the resources that I use to defeat the evil one, you use the same resources. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was what? The Greek means he was literally starving to death. And so when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, well, since you're the Son of God, he says, command that these stones become bread. I imagine after 40 days of not eating, I don't know about you, but would you be hungry? Yeah, you know, it's like the devil looking at the Lord there at this encounter with him. Think about that for a moment. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Jesus, you really look hungry to me. 40 days is a long time to go without any nourishment. Here you are up on the mount, here in the being tempted all this time. You're weak, you're worn out. You ever notice that the devil does those things to you when you're exhausted? You know, I can assure you that whenever I was in bed all that time, and not that I want to get into what I was feeling, but I can assure you that he was certainly wanting to plummet my mind with things that were untrue. Do you understand? He comes to you at your weakest time, when you're worn out or when you're exhausted. And I can tell you that Jesus in the flesh was exhausted, but not in the Spirit, because he had been praying and he had been fasting. Now, with all that being said, it says here that, you know, Jesus, you really look hungry. So what did Jesus do? You know, the devil said, you know, command those stones. So you can make them bread and eat and let's get well or whatever. And Jesus answered in verse 4, and he said, it is written. Say those three words with me. It is written. Those are three words. That's a title of the sermon, by the way. Those are the three words you never, ever want to forget, ever, ever in your life as a believer. Jesus answered and said, he is speaking to the wicked, most wicked entity, the darkest human or darkest spirit that has ever been known in the universe. And he says to Satan himself, he says, it is written, it stands written, it can never be changed. It is the eternal living word of God. It is written. That word is grapho in the Greek. It is written that man, talking about you, talking about me, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. And listen to me. Every rhema, not logos. Did you hear that? It says every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on our Monday broadcast, so be sure and tune in once again. We appreciate the privilege of your time today, and we pray you have a splendid weekend. Good day, everyone.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.